D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
It's only POC. A clump of cells is like a wart. Lies! It is a baby.
Because they're in a crisis situation. Mm-hmm. And if you saw someone in a crisis situation, you'd do whatever you could to help that individual.
When a gal comes to a pregnancy resource center, they're very pleasantly surprised. They're just not on their own. We're here to help all the way through.
This is Truths That Transform.
Welcome to Truths That Transform, a viewer-supported program of D. James Kennedy Ministries. I'm Frank Wright. I hope you'll take the time to visit our ministry website, where you're going to find an amazing collection of free video, audio, and digital resources. It's all available at djameskennedy.org. This past week, we marked the 43rd anniversary of the Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade decision, which led to the deaths of over 50 million children in America. But progress is being made in the battle for life, thanks to those on the front line contending for truth. One of those dedicated people is my friend Tawana Amon, the executive director of Broward County Right to Life here in South Florida. She's involved in this cause on several different fronts. Tawana, thanks for being with us today.
Oh, it's great to be here.
Great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Tawana, people come to the issue of defending life from all kinds of perspectives. For some, it's a science. For others, it's the biblical mandate. For others, it's a real personal connection. How did you come to this question of defending human life?
Well, in my case, it was a personal connection because I was 12 when I accepted Christ, and I started getting into unhealthy relationships a few years later. And then at 18, I found out I was pregnant. Mm-hmm. And initially, I was excited about having a baby, and I wanted to know who could I go and tell. Mm. And the person that came to mind, I went to, and the person sat me down and said, "You're too young. You're too immature. What will people think? You can't afford a child right now. You work part-time." And it was all the factors. And by the time she was done with me, I felt like I didn't have another option. Mm. So I went and had the abortion, and I felt like it was better. It was for the best. And I went on a few years later and started coming back to church, started reading the Bible again. And I was listening to a Christian radio station that described an abortion procedure in the womb. Mm-hmm. It was a dramatization. And my heart broke when I heard that message because I hadn't really thought about it, the reality of what I had done. And it just convicted me. And there was depression. There was sadness. I was crying out to God. I was praying. And God brought me a couple of counselors through a number of different connections. And then they directed me to a post-abortion Bible study. And what was great about the Bible study is I heard that message that Christ forgives me, that I'm forgiven, that because I've accepted him and I'm a child of God, he's washed my sin.
But it was all still a big secret, wasn't it?
Yes. I mean, the church I attended talked about abortion, and I didn't want to talk about it. I would avoid circles where it was being discussed. I still felt shame surface. I still felt regret. And I didn't know how to get rid of that. I didn't know what to do with it. And what was interesting was a number of years later, I met my husband, who was very active in pro-life work. So you know how God works. He has a sense of humor. And so when I met my husband, I still couldn't tell him that I had had an abortion. I was afraid that he might reject me. I mean, that's not an uncommon thing for women to experience. They're so, they know how bad it is. They know how wrong it is. But after we got married, God just was working in my heart. I knew I had to confess. I knew I had to tell the truth and tell him what I had done. And then one day I just confessed. And what was so amazing was he was loving and forgiving. And it was the exact opposite response of what I thought I'd get. Mm. And so what was amazing was I knew that I had to do it. And it was a good thing to do. And so then what happened was we got pregnant shortly after that. And we were so excited about being parents. And I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. I wanted to homeschool my kids. I mean, I was ready to have kids. And sadly, at 21 and a half weeks into the pregnancy, I went into preterm labor and lost the baby. Mm. The baby lived just 3 hours. Mm. We named him David Nathan. And then he passed away. We buried him at the local funeral home at Hollywood Memorial Gardens.
Now, your struggle with this and a tremendous loss, also motivated you to do something amazing. You actually went back to the clinic where you had the abortion and asked to see your records. Tell me about that.
Right. One of the things that prompted me to go back to the abortionist was reading in the book What to Expect When You're Expecting, which is the pregnancy woman's Bible. Mm-hmm. And it says that if you've had a prior abortion, you can have problems in future pregnancies. And that was devastating to me because the lights went on. So when I went back to the abortionist, I asked for my file, and it took them 3 weeks. By the grace of God, they found it. And they called me up. They said, you know, we have it here. I went and got it. And throughout the file, the doctor had written that he had given me all the information, the risks and complications,
right,
the nature of the procedure, and the psychological damage that I could actually experience, as well as on my release form, it said that I understood that I could be sterile, and that meant that I would not be able to go on and have children in the future. Well, I know that I did not have that explained to me, because I wanted children.
The abortion industry is pretty well known for not providing fully informed consent, aren't they? Is that your experience in talking to post-abortive women?
There are over 30 states that have women's right to know laws. So they're actually being implemented. We don't know how fully, mm-hmm, but we see numbers going down. So we're encouraged because the more we raise awareness, the more the pro-life individuals talk about these facts and everything, the more we're seeing women choose life. So we're seeing the numbers going in our direction. It's slow. It's incremental, but we're making progress.
There's a place for every Christian to be involved in defending the least of these little ones, isn't there? They don't have
Absolutely.
To be a public speaker.
No.
They don't have to be so bold to go do sidewalk
No.
counseling, but there's a place for every Christian to be involved.
Yes. There are so many different pro-life organizations and crisis pregnancy centers that are in local communities that people can go to and say, hey, do you need me to make phone calls for something? Can I do data work? I mean, even if it seems menial, these organizations need help. They need volunteers. Mm-hmm. And whatever we can do together to get involved in the pro-life movement right. is a good thing. But the most important thing is the prayer.
Yeah.
The prayer.
Yeah. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been a blessing.
It's been great to have you here. It has been rightly said that ideas have consequences. What we really believe to be true about ultimate reality is what will show up in our actions. That's certainly true of our nation's acceptance of abortion on demand. It comes from an evolutionary worldview that says unborn babies are nothing but an advanced but accidental bundle of cells. But it's a falsehood. And such falsehoods are the foundation of the abortion industry. My friend and mentor, Dr. D. James Kennedy, shines the light of truth in this portion of his message, Lies and More Lies.
Every evil system that has come down the pike has been based upon a foundation of lies. To wit, Nazism, based upon the lie that the Nazis were the master race destined to rule the world. Secondly, that Jews, according to their Supreme Court, were non-persons and therefore could be destroyed at will. Or communism, based upon the lie that state ownership of factories and farms would greatly increase output, production, prosperity, and wealth. And that the state under communism would finally simply wither away. Shintoism, based upon the lie that the emperor was God. It was the absolute conviction of Japanese officers and soldiers that it was impossible for them to lose a war, since their emperor was God. A lie which cost the lives of millions. In fact, if you take all of the millions and millions of people that died because of those lies, it is staggering. No wonder Jesus said of Satan that not only is he the father of lies, but he was a murderer from the beginning. And he said that those that hate me love death. But the truth will out. And the truth of all of those lies has outed, and there is virtually no one that believes any of them today. Yet they gripped the minds and hearts of men and brought bloodshed across the world. Abortion. Some would say, well, how dare you compare that to Nazism and communism and Shintoism, which brought about the destruction of tens of millions of lives? My friends, abortion has brought about the death of more lives than Nazism, communism, Shintoism combined. Let me be more emphatic. Abortion worldwide has brought about the death of more human beings than have died in all of the world's wars throughout human history. And it's all based upon lies, by the father of lies. And I'm afraid there are no doubt some right here in this sanctuary who have believed some of the lies of abortion. Lies and more lies. The first, most important, and most common one is that what is to be aborted is not a baby. The most common question asked by young women when they come to abortion clinics is this: is it a baby? And what were they told tens or scores of millions of times? No, it is not. A lie! It's only POC, product of conception. It's just a clump of cells. It's like a wart. You'd want to get a wart removed, wouldn't you? Or a mole. But it's not a baby. Lies. It is a baby. And scientists have concluded long ago that there is no place from conception on where you can say that yesterday this was not a baby and today it is. The greatest lie of all, it's not a baby. You see, abortion is a fantastically profitable industry. Another lie. Oh, there's nothing to it. You can do it. Why there won't be any problems? How many women have heard that? Well, in 2001, the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists in England did a vast study on abortion and found out the number and percentage of people who had abortions who had medical problems sufficient enough to require a doctor's attention and care, and applied to the number of abortions that have been conducted in America, it means that 140,000 women every year have medical complications of their legal abortion sufficient to require a doctor's attention. How many of them die? Nobody knows, because of the great lie that's going on. Well, I have no doubt I am speaking to some ladies who have had abortions. Ladies who were deceived by these lies. Well, ladies, let me tell you, there is mercy with the Lord. There is forgiveness with Him. Gentlemen, there is mercy with the Lord for you if you repent and if you confess. He is kind and merciful to all of those that will come unto Him.
go to him, confess this to him, and ask him to cleanse you, remove the darkness, and fill you with his joy. And he will do that. When we love him, we love life, for he is the giver of life. And as the number of Christians in this country continues to grow, we're going to see abortion swept away from America.
As Dr. Kennedy said in his message today, truth will prevail. Despite all the media's pro-abortion rhetoric, the horrifying reality of abortion still manages to somehow break through. But it requires action. If evil prevails when good men do nothing, then it's important for Christians to act on their principles. This ministry is in the midst of launching a new life initiative, the first prong of which is designed to connect women with those who can truly help them in a crisis pregnancy. Let's take a closer look.
Oh, yeah. For over 40 years of ministry, D. James Kennedy's bold and courageous defense of the unborn employed every moral, intellectual, and biblical reason for the end of abortion.
But any of you that may be pro-choice, I just want to say to you this. You ought to get down on your knees and thank God that your mother wasn't pro-choice.
D. James Kennedy Ministries continues that legacy, and in 2016 is launching a new initiative to help women choose life. While reports are that the number of abortions has decreased, over 1 million abortions a year in the United States means that over a fifth of all pregnancies still end in abortion mills like Planned Parenthood. Yet across America, life-affirming pregnancy care centers outnumber abortion providers.
When a gal comes to a pregnancy resource center, there's mentors, there's sonograms that we help them get cribs and car seats and diapers and clothes, maternity clothes and parenting classes and things like that. They're just not on their own. We're here to help all the way through.
Caring staff are uniquely gifted and motivated by their love of Jesus Christ and their own experiences to help women in need.
I myself am really passionate about the work with post-abortive women because I myself am post-abortive. When I was 19 years old, I had an abortion. The day of my procedure was definitely a unhappy day. They take me back and they do a sonogram, an ultrasound, and the monitor was turned facing away from me, and they would not let me see it. So I didn't get to hear the heartbeat. I didn't get to see the picture. I know that in our work, especially with crisis pregnancy clients who come in that we counsel, we offer free ultrasounds because it changes their mind 85 to 95% of the time once they see the heartbeat and see a real baby alive in there moving around. So I know that for me, it most likely would have changed my mind. What Satan meant for bad, God has brought to good, and I am able to minister to other post-abortive women to help them heal, and also just proclaim the good news of life.
The reality is, pro-life pregnancy centers save lives, but many women in a crisis pregnancy first turn to the internet. Through this new life initiative, D. James Kennedy Ministries will be connecting women with the resources of CareNet, the largest network of pregnancy care centers in the United States, where they can receive counseling, information, and all-important sonograms.
Most of our clients want a sonogram when they come. The sonograms themselves are the most effective tool that we have. Even as small as 6 weeks, you can see the heart beating. You get 8-9 weeks and that baby's moving, and you can see the profile, and it has a huge impact. 92% of a woman coming in here that was contemplating an abortion changed her mind after seeing the image of her unborn child on that screen.
Connecting women with true information regarding their pregnancy literally makes the difference between life and death for the baby. Hillary, who was homeless and addicted to heroin, became pregnant and was being pressured to have an abortion by the child's father. With so many negative factors, it would take a miracle to save her baby. But truth and love won out.
I knew when I came here that they were pro-life, but I figured, well, I can just get my pregnancy verification and go do what I need to do. But when I came here, they changed my mind and my heart through counseling, and I got an ultrasound here that day. I could see my baby on the screen. By the time I left here, I had made a clear decision that I wanted to clean up my life and get it all back together so I could have my son. And God has just blessed me with my beautiful boy. So they really did a lot for me. They've helped me come a far way, and then helping me come to Jesus. Another great decision I've made. My two best decisions of my life is keeping my baby and coming to Jesus.
And this crisis pregnancy website is only the first prong in D. James Kennedy Ministries' Life Initiative. We remain fully committed to the sanctity of all human life, and with the help of dedicated supporters, we plan to add components to this initiative dealing with suicide prevention, euthanasia, and end-of-life concerns.
You know, I would love for more people to see the change on a woman's face when she comes in here contemplating what she's going to do with her pregnancy. And she does make that choice for life. How she is transposed, how the weight of the world is off her shoulders. And when she makes that right choice, just she gets life back again too. And just is beaming.
Rather than just being blobs of tissue, unborn babies are part of what the Bible calls the least among us. And Jesus said, whoever cares for the least among us cares for him. While there are many who are deceived in thinking it's somehow humanitarian to provide abortion for those seeking a way to end an unwanted pregnancy, in reality, abortion is a business earning blood money. We want to break through the lies and help people get to the life-saving truth. And we have a new resource that helps make that happen. Here's my friend Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy with more. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you, Frank. As you've seen on today's program, the abortion industry is built on lies that have been bought into by an entire generation of people. But as you've also seen, the truth is effective. When people know true facts about the abortion industry and about the baby in the womb, their views on abortion change. Lives are saved. That's why we want to share a new book with you that intelligently, persuasively communicates the truth about these issues and provides biblical answers. It's called Fearfully and Wonderfully Made, featuring six powerful messages from my father, Dr. D. James Kennedy. This new hardcover book is part of the Kennedy Collection, and we'll send it to you as our thanks for your generous donation. Simply write to us at Box 6085, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007, or call toll-free 888-334-9762, or go online to djameskennedy.org. When you give a donation, you'll be helping us not only to speak out on these issues through TV, radio, print, and the internet, but you'll also be helping us to implement our new life initiative, which you've also heard about on today's program. We're building a website that will connect women in need who are facing decisions about their pregnancy with pro-life pregnancy centers in their area. This has the potential to save untold numbers of babies. But we can't do it or any of our other ministry outreaches without your help. If you give a generous donation of $40 or more, we'll send you the book plus the 6 DVD or 6 CD set by the same name, Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. The strong message you heard a portion of today, Lies and More Lies, plus 5 others are contained in this set, which you'll want to share with your children and grandchildren, your pastor, or even a small group Bible study. That's the book and the 6 DVD or 6 CD series, Fearfully and Wonderfully Made, as our thanks for your generous donation of $40 or more to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at Box 6085, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007. Or call toll-free 888-334-9762. Or go online to djameskennedy.org.
Christian theologian Henry Van Til once said, "Culture is religion externalized." In other words, a culture will vividly display what the people of that culture value and ultimately what they worship. In America, the religion is now self-gratification, with unfettered sexual behavior as the means to ultimate gratification. This new civic religion comes with enforcers who police the bounds of heresy, which is why critics of Bruce Jenner must be publicly shamed, and someone like football star Tim Tebow, who pledges virginity until marriage, is publicly ridiculed. And this religion comes with a blood sacrifice as well. More than 50 million human children have been slain in America upon the altar of self-gratification. Sex as recreation, rather than as a sacred bond between husband and wife, has led to untold human suffering and death. Neatly packaged in the media and entertainment world as the good life. But no matter how hard we try, we cannot escape the realities of God's world, just as we cannot escape the law of gravity by jumping in the air. Sex and the procreation of life are connected for a reason. It's because they're part of God's design. Our society's arrogant attempt to separate them has resulted in death and darkness. But there is a better way. God's design for marriage and family is a glorious thing. And in the greatest of ironies, when we give ourselves in covenant bonds to spouse and family, we find true self-fulfillment, not the counterfeit that our culture offers to us. All of this pictures a glorious gospel in which the Son of God loves and cares for and protects His people as the husband does his bride. Only by turning to Christ can the disordered affections that are destroying us be put right once again. I'm Frank Wright. Thank you for joining us on Truths That Transform.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
Roe v. Wade was really created to create an industry that could prey on women and their children. The abortion industry is still the largest underregulated legal industry in the nation today.
We knew what they were doing. We knew that Planned Parenthood was illegally selling baby body parts for a profit. We knew that they oftentimes manipulated or changed the abortion technique to put their profits ahead of the health and safety of women. And we also knew that babies were being born alive and systematically disassembled and murdered in the process.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.